All right, a pleasure to bring in Bobby Nightingale, and he writes for the Cincinnati Inquirer and covers the Reds. Bobby, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing well, and you're on the ground there in Cincinnati, and Tommy Pham certainly has been the big part of the story this morning. You want to bring us up to date on what you saw and what you heard a little bit about Tommy Pham and the incident from yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, he spoke today after Jock Peterson spoke yesterday. It's just a dispute kind of stemming from fantasy football, something that happened over a year ago. In a league, they had a group text message thread that they had that Tommy took exception to a text that Jock Peterson sent and said, "Hey, next time I see you, I'm going to slap you." And, he's a man of his word, and he did it in pregame yesterday, and now he's going to serve a three-game suspension, which included last night. Giants pressured the Reds pretty heavily to keep him out of the lineup yesterday, so he sat out yesterday's game. Now it's kind of everyone's looking at the pieces now and just kind of seeing kind of the fallout of everything, but started from a fantasy football league.
Now, do I understand this, that he actually threatened him last year, said, "When I see you, I'm going to slap you"?
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those, It was over a text message. He just said it was very disrespectful to his old team, the Padres. And that's kind of where it stemmed from, was just that text message. And he said he called him out on it immediately. Pham called Jock Peterson out immediately on it and just said, "Hey, next time I see you, I don't appreciate that text, and something's going to happen next time we see each other." And It obviously came to a head on the field yesterday.
All right. Well, and he also blamed Peterson for messing with his money. And now he is going to lose $111,000 for his three-game suspension. So, all right, that's a story. That is Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson from yesterday. Well, the Reds finally beat a National League West team. They're 1-13 now. The Reds are playing better ball.
Yeah, they are. I mean, part of it, their schedule lightened up a little bit, but also they got healthy. I mean, early on, they just had so many injuries. They had 15 guys on the injured list at once at the beginning of the year, 17 at one point. So part of it is just guys starting to get healthy, and then also some guys that, probably weren't expecting to come into the season and play a heavy role on the team, like Brandon Drury, homered yesterday. I mean, he signed at the end of camp. It kind of made the roster out because of injuries, and he's kind of taken the opportunity to run with it. And some of those guys are getting a little bit more confident, a little bit more comfortable at the major league level, which you're kind of seeing it in their play.
I love the catcher. He got a dribbler last night, and Walton tried to scoop at the first base and missed by about 7 feet. And the run scored. Reynolds hustled in. But Stevenson put the bat on the ball. I like Stevenson. What do you think of him?
Yeah, the Reds love him. I mean, he's one of those guys they see as a future all-star, the guy they want to build around. It's his second year. They traded Tucker Barnhart in the offseason. That was one of their first offseason moves. Part of that was to cut payroll, but also because Tyler Stevenson was kind of their catcher of the future, and they wanted to give him the most of the playing time. So wanted to have a cheaper backup. But he's a guy that they really believe in. He homered in his major league debut, and he's kind of taken off ever since then.
Bobby, David Bell, and I just saw pictures of him in the dugout. Boy, he's an intense guy, and I remember him as a player when he was here and talked to him, and you never felt that intensity. Always sort of a quiet guy. He has taken on a whole new personality as manager, and he was upset last night about something around McGee and McGee not being on the card and all that. But a very passionate man, David Bell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a player's type manager. A guy that players always know has their back. And you see that kind of come out in a lot of different ways. I remember in his first season, I think he led the league in ejections, maybe around 10 times, got suspended when there was a big brawl between the Reds and the Pirates. So that was kind of the defining feature. I mean, just kind of a guy who very passionate about his players, very passionate about his team, cares a lot. And, when he's off the field, he does not have that demeanor, like you said. I mean, he's very easygoing off the field. But once the game starts, you can see the intensity come out.
Yeah, he's believe me, he's on every pitch. What do you think of the strike zone last night with Hunter Wendelstedt? What do you think of that?
Yeah, that was a rough game for Hunter. I thought of both sides. I mean, there's a lot of high strikes. I thought both pitchers got calls, so I don't think it was leaned one way or another. But just the strike zone, you could hear players talking about it afterwards. Just a lot of high strikes that, shouldn't have been strikes.
Are you in favor of the robo-ump or the computer strike zone?
I'm not. I actually think, I like sticking with regular umpires. I've talked to a lot of minor leaguers who played in the Reds' low-A affiliate last year where they had it. They had it in every away park, but not their home park. And after the season, they complained. I mean, just said there was a lot of pitches that ended up in the dirt and still would be called strikes and still a lot of kinks to work out. So a lot of players, I mean, they said they understand why baseball is moving in that direction, but they didn't think it was major league ready. And, as much as people like to criticize umpires and judge them, I mean, you're still looking at like a 95% rate, 97% rate of getting calls correctly, which you see players complain sometimes about a call and it ends up being a strike. So, I mean, it's a tough job, and I think they deserve more credit than they get for kind of the job they do back there.
All right, we'll see. Bobby Nightingale is with us. Cincinnati Inquirer covers the Reds. Ownership, boy, they certainly got in the middle of things when the season started. Cincinnati is a wonderful city and always had the first game, and it was a day off for everyone in Cincinnati. And the fans have been terrific. And then the Castellini family sort of challenged the fans. Has that quieted down at all?
No, I think there's still some resentment about that. Bob Castellini is the owner. His son, Phil Castellini, is the team president. And he kind of criticized fans, shot back at fans on the home opener, just kind of questioning where they would go if they don't support the Reds and that type of thing. And that turned a lot of fans off just because, I mean, they've cut payroll the last two off seasons. This is a team that won 83 games last year, and then they traded a bunch of veterans during spring training. So I do think there's, it's a lot of resentment type. It's, hey, the Reds went all in 2020, and then they started rebuilding 2 years later. So I think there's a lot of goodwill that they kind of have to earn back. And, it kind of starts with you got to have a short rebuild and have a successful team after it.
Well, you look at the rebuild, and I guess they're in a semi-rebuild, although they have some players that can do some damage. Did they get anything back in all these trades that you can even comment on?
I mean, they got good pitching prospects back. I mean, one of them's in Double-A. He's rated as a top 100 prospect by some publications, Brandon Williamson from the Mariners. Another player they got back from the Mariners is having a lot of success at High-A, Connor Phillips, one of the leaders in strikeouts in the minors. So, I mean, they've added some pitching depth. That's just one of those. It's not the same as having a Nick Castellanos in your lineup or a Jesse Winker or a Eugenio Suarez that they're used to having. So that's going to make your major league team worse, and that's what these moves did. But, hey, maybe 2 years from now those trades will look a lot better when those guys are getting closer to the big leagues.
Well, we'll see. Joey Votto probably won't be there in a couple of years, but he's there now. And we kicked it around this morning about is he a Hall of Famer or not. He's an interesting guy, and you've covered him for a long time. Interesting guy to interview and everything else. But how does he explain the start he's having now and still hitting under 200?
Yeah, I think part of it, he just got a little too focused on, like, the bat speed kind of initiative he was doing in the offseason. He had such success last year. I mean, he's one of the league's best hitters over the last 4 months at the end of last season. So I think he just kind of dove too much into the power, focused too much on that instead of just putting the ball in play. I mean, his strikeout rate for him was through the roof. It just wasn't making consistent enough contact when he was hitting the ball. So I think he missed 3 weeks because he had COVID. And coming back from that, I think you're already starting to see the change. He changes bat, a little bit change in kind of his offensive approach. More simplified, more going back to the basics. And he's had success since he's been back, in the past week.
Well, he'll be in there today against Alex Wood, so we'll see how he does against the lefty today. What about Gutierrez? Last year, 9-6, and he had a number of decent starts. This year, 0-6, and the numbers are off the charts against him.
Yeah, it's been kind of tale of two, complete opposite from last year. Last year he was fantastic and then kind of hit a rookie wall at the end. Didn't play in 2020, so you could tell the innings kind of stacked up on him and he had a bad September. But this year, I mean, he's usually a guy that attacks a ton, but he's walking a lot of guys. He's trying to do a mechanical thing with his arm, just trying to be more in sync, and that really hasn't taken hold in games. They like what he does in bullpen sessions, but he's a guy, he was slated to go to the bullpen Then the Reds had a couple of injuries in their starting rotation, so he's making today's spot start. So, I mean, he's a guy, I mean, he's trying to prove that he deserves to stay at the big league level. So it's an important start for him today just to have some success. A guy who obviously had success last year, but just hasn't had much of it this year. And just kind of everything spiraled since the start of the year.
All right. It's August 15th. Is Tyler Malley a Cincinnati Red? Is Luis Castillo a Cincinnati Red?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be the big question. I probably lean towards no, they're not. But I think the Reds are going to hold a high price tag on both those guys, especially Castillo. I mean, when he's at his best, I think he's one of the top 10 pitchers in the league. I mean, his stuff is incredible when he's got everything going. And he's coming off a shoulder injury at the beginning of the season, so he's only, I think, four starts into his year now. So if he keeps that up, I mean, he'll be the top starting pitcher in the trade market this summer. Tyler Malley's had more of a rough season, but he pitches really well on the road. And so I think teams are going to look at that and say, hey, he's a young guy, still 27, a guy who doesn't rely a ton on velocity, so he should age well. So I could see teams, especially when you're talking about teams trying to gear up for a World Series, I could see both those guys moved as long as, you know, the Reds are going to hold a high prospect package that they're going to want back.
Where do the Reds finish in this division?
I think it's possible they could finish third. I mean, you look at three rebuilding teams at the bottom. I mean, I think the Brewers and the Cardinals are far and away the top two teams in the division. And then the Reds, Cubs, and Pirates are all three rebuilding teams who, you know, the Reds might have a much different look after the trade deadline, but I think they could fight for third. I mean, it's just three rebuilding teams that none of them, just who has a hotter month, I guess, near the end of the season, can kind of ride that momentum.
Well, we'll see. Good weekend of baseball. Appreciate you being on as always. Enjoy the day. And we've got Gutierrez today, Malley tomorrow, Alex Cobb, Wood as well. So it's going to be a good couple of days. I appreciate you being on, Bobby. We always enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Marty.
All right, that is Bobby Nightingale of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Now it's time for the week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body with 15 locations to serve you. We like Chilton Auto Body. This month's Spotlight is on the food bank of Contra Costa and Solano.